The winter of 1997, issue 32, featured this next piece, White Birch and Blue Spruce, by Wisconsin's Art Oda. Today, Art does environmental counseling through his business Quercus Associates, Quercus, of course, being Latin for oak. Here's how his father gave him such love for trees that eventually he named his business after them.
My father sold nursery stock door to door, like a fuller brush man sold brushes. But Dad didn't just sell roses and fruit trees and grapevines and Japanese yews. He also sold hopes and dreams. My father always was a salesman, first selling stoves in an appliance store, and then on the road, stopping at every farmhouse with frosted winter windows, or every townhouse that had kids who looked cold. Perfection stoves, they were called, and my father wouldn't have sold them if he hadn't believed they were just that. But Dad was at heart a farmer, a city boy who went to the county ag school and yearned to own a farm. He did, too, for a short while, until the Depression dashed that idea. My father didn't recognize bad luck, however, only good. As proof of that, he might roll up his left sleeve and disclose a forearm shattered by a shotgun blast, inner arm flesh stripped to a glistening bone, the full ball of shot still lodged, jiggling like a two-bit sack of seeds just below the elbow joint. Three fingers of that hand were permanently clenched, rendering his left arm and hand virtually useless. My mother had suffered an uncannily identical injury to her left arm and hand, the result of an industrial accident when she was still a young woman. Neither had married until relatively late in life, one obvious attraction being their strange, similar disfigurement. Bad luck? The best, my father would say through a broad, guileless grin. When the Second World War ended, Dad put aside the perfect stoves and started selling nursery stock. In those days of unlocked doors and open hearts, a man could actually hope to make a living knocking on doors and selling nursery stock. Or better yet, dreams. In order to buy dreams, one must first own faith. And faith was bolstered by a firm handshake, a friendly smile, a shine shoe, and in the nursery business, a full-color catalog. Yes, the Grootendorst rose, Grootendorst, my father pronounced it in mock Germanic accent, really was as beautiful as the picture. Of course the birch bark will be as white as the finest paper. And is a blue spruce truly blue? As blue as a Colorado sky. All it takes is faith and plenty of well-rotted manure. When I was about 10 years old, I started accompanying my father on some Sunday afternoon sales calls. We had somehow acquired a Hudson sedan with countless gadgets and luxuries, and I would listen to its massive push-button radio while the great green car was parked in some farm drive. If the weather was warm, I could sit behind the wheel, roll down the windows, and pretend I was driving. If it was cold, my trusting father would let me start the engine and turn on the heater. In retrospect, I seemed an odd child, listening to Sunday afternoon symphonies and reading the novel purloined from the grown-up section of the library and hidden, if necessary, beneath, what else, a full-color catalog. When my father finally strode toward the car, I could usually tell by his walk whether the afternoon had been a success. If it was, we might stop at the tavern on the way home, where my father played a peculiar Milwaukee card game called Schafskopf, sheep's head, with his cronies. If I was then treated to an orange soda and a blind robin, a salty dried fish in a cellophane package, I knew it had been at least a $10 commission afternoon. One winter evening, shortly after my 16th birthday, my father was sitting in his undershirt in front of the coal furnace in the basement, trying to kindle a reluctant fire. He was in a rather expansive, self-congratulatory mood. When he was like that, he was the warmest, friendliest, most congenial of persons. That, I knew, was what made him a successful salesman. People liked him, related to him, trusted him. Somewhat odd-looking man that he was, large, pear-shaped, with a crippled arm, and one eye which constantly roved about behind thick wired-rimmed glasses, refusing, for whatever reason, to operate in unison with the other. "Son, I have discovered the secret to success, and I'm going to let you in on it," he said in a mock conspiratorial tone, beckoning me to sit down on one of the two big stumps by the furnace. He handed me a beer, which he had started doing occasionally, if out of sight of my mother. "Okay, Dad. What is it? A magic bean? Did you sell the cow for it?" "I'm serious, son. Blue spruce and white birch trees are where the money is. I've been selling nursery stock for 5 years now, and everyone wants a clump of birch and 3 blue spruce. I can't talk people out of them. No more than you can talk 2 people who are in love out of getting married. If they can't buy them from me, they will buy them from someone else. So I've ordered 600 blue spruce seedlings and 200 white birch seedlings, and I'll go halves with you if you help plant them." I looked at my father, dumbfounded and somewhat dismayed. I didn't much want to be a nurseryman. I'd been wavering between racing cars or being a lawyer. But there was no denying his determination, his sincerity, his smile, his salesmanship. In the spring, we planted white birch and blue spruce trees in tight nursery rows on some land he'd just bought. My father's funeral, a few months later, was a rather odd affair. He had always refused to go to church except on Christmas Eve and Easter Sunday, which he told everyone he did only to please my mother, and because he liked to watch the organist specially hired for these occasions bow to the congregation and then sort of slide across the organ bench. Familiar with my father's gentle irreverence, our pastor wouldn't officiate at his funeral. 6 Masonic pallbearers officiated, each placing a single red rose in the casket. I hoped fervently through my tears that they were Groot-endorsed. The funeral procession had almost 100 cars and stretched for blocks, and I was fiercely proud. At the cemetery, as the casket joined those of my grandfather and 3 great uncles in the family plot, I remembered my father's rueful joke at the last interment. "One more down there, and they'll be able to play Schatzkopf." My father left little money, but mercifully, no debts. He did, however, leave a number of debtors, people down on their luck who owed him any amount from a few dollars to several thousand. He chose his charity case as well, as none ever repaid. In 2 years, the seedlings needed transplanting, and eventually they took up almost 2 acres. After about 4 years, I sold a few of the blue spruce and gallon pots, and it wasn't long before the bark of the sapling birch trees began to turn white. Eventually, the spruce trees became real moneymakers, trimmed to perfection and perfectly bald and burlapped, procedures which I seemed to have a talent for. The birch trees, clumped together in 3s at their final transplanting, looked as picturesque as any growing in the Wisconsin North Woods. I did plant some other stock and worked my way through college with the help of the nursery. I also bartered some of the trees throughout the years for a huge wedding cake and work on our first home. The last several spruces, the final culls, served as wonderful, fanciful Christmas trees for 3 little children. I sometimes think about that last memorable conversation with my father and how it might be continued if he suddenly appeared sitting in the chair across from me by the fire late some deep, cold winter night. "So, son, did you find the secret to success? Was it in the white birch and blue spruce trees we planted?" And I hear myself saying in reply, "Well, Dad, you had a good idea there. They brought a decent return on the investment. But I never started any more."
"Why not, son?"
"I didn't need to. Along with the white birch and blue spruce, you planted enough faith and dreams in me to last a lifetime." And I see once again that kind, slightly conspiratorial smile and that restless, roving eye glinting merrily in the firelight.